Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome, 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 everybody. Before we begin, just wanted to say hello. My name is Will Green. As I always say, holding down one half of our hosting duties on the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Thank you all that have already joined us, those that are listening to our recorded show. Just as we did in the past, I'm going to kick off the show with a little story, and we'll get things going. An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells his grandson, a fight is going on inside me, and it's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One wolf is evil. He is angry, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, has inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, however, is good. He's joy, peace and love, hope and serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. He looks at his grandson. The grandfather says, the same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too. The grandson, the little guy, thought about it for a minute, and he asked his grandfather, well, which wolf wins? The old Cherokee simply replied, it's the wolf you feed.
Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Devil, you got to let me and my people go. Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me? I wanna be free, totally free. I'm not gonna let this world worry me.
Hey, hey, and hey.
You've got to be seen
in green. I forgot how much I like this song. Welcome, welcome. Okay, namaste, hola. What time is it? Yes, buenas noches. It's kind of late now. Good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. New season. New day, same time. It's the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, live now on Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And, of course, you can always listen to the Greenhouse Effect show that is archived and saved on your favorite listening platform. New Days, Wednesday, November 10th. My name is Will Green. I'm holding down one half of our hosting duties here on the show, holding down the other half. We always call him the Lions historian. My best friend, my dad, Bill Green. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back, man. What's happening? What's going on, Daddy-O?
Hey, man. It's good to hear your voice in this format, you know, once again. I've missed the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's and I've missed the action. And I've missed the controversy, you know. But you know what I've missed most of all has been the research. I mean, it's really been incredible for me, you know, doing the background research and just finding out things that I either never knew or I was never taught or totally forgot about. And it's incredible how it's so easy to fall into the trance of forgetfulness and just take the issues of the day and think that they absolutely have no connection with the past, which of course is, you know, is the hope of the ruling class.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's what's going on.
Right on.
And,
all right.
And you? Oh, how you doing?
I'm a bag of, I don't know, a bag of emotions. I don't know, man. My brain is bouncing around like a Tom and Jerry cartoon, you know, heart beating all out my chest. Messy the dog's walking around. I can hear him creeping around, you know, so I'm all over the place, man. But I'm great. You know, I'm more than happy to be doing this again with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, man.
You know, it's,
yeah,
you know, it's amazing when we stop for a minute, how much time flies by and all that stuff. You know, I'm not going to get too much into that, but you know, it's like, dang, wait, when did we stop?
We're
just going to a wedding.
Yeah.
Next thing we knew, it's almost, you know, half a year.
Man, you know, it's deep. You're going to cover the preliminaries, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good reminder. Thank you for that. Look at you. You're already back in the seat. I see you. So, you know, before we get going, ladies and gentlemen, you know, my dad and I, you probably heard us before. And if you never heard us before, then I hope that you will enjoy it and that you're in for a treat. You know, as Dad mentioned, we talk about different things. We feel that's relevant to our society. And sometimes we use a thousand words. Why use a thousand words when 100 words? I messed up the saying. Adam's going to kill me.
No, that's the hope.
But I think you all get the point. So anyway, we always like to remind you listeners out there that there's a few things before we get going here. The first thing is that, you know, this isn't your normal podcast, so you just sit here and just listen to two guys just banter back and forth and just seem highly opinionated and don't care about anything else. You know, here at the Greenhouse Effect Show, a Greenhouse Effect radio show, when we do our shows live, if you're not familiar with Blog Talk Radio, this gives you the option to engage with us, and we always welcome that. We're not going to, you know, give a lot of disclaimers, but the thing is, if you're going to call us and engage, then we hope that you, you know, was listening to some of the things that we talked about and not just jumping in and not really adding to the discussion. You know, we're not here to argue and things like that, but we're open to opinions. You know, so we'd like you to engage with us. There's a chat room that's open if you're listening online. And if you make a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, you can engage with us in the chat room. Or if you're listening on your phone, and I see a few phone numbers in here already. That's awesome. Thumbs up. There's a phone number that you, well, obviously you know the number because you called. But for those that are listening online, just so you can write it down. Right. So the first thing is the pen and pad. Right. The first reminder is make sure you've got something to write with. We like to encourage our listeners to grab, you know, pen and paper, pencil and pad, or we like to say a highlighter, post-it note, a back of an envelope, something like that, because you may have questions, and we don't want you to forget your questions. So grab a pen and pad. You can engage with us, as I mentioned, in the chat room, online, on the phone, when you call us at 516-453-6094. You press 1 on your keypad. That'll light up our studio, let you know that you'd like to chime in, say hello, maybe give us some, drop some words for us, you know, some jewels, as they say. Even in the midst of doing research, we know that there's things that we can learn from you all as well. I know there's always a reminder I'm forgetting that. So grab a pen and paper, the engagement piece, and there's always one more, but I always forget it as well. But I guess it will come to me later.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have the right to have the first show willies.
Because I got them.
Like
man.
Anybody
Willie
else.
Got the willies.
Yeah, but you're doing fine, man, you know. And just as a quick follow-up or follow-through or reminder, once again, that chat room comes with it the opportunity to sign up for an account. But keep in mind, even though you use a credit card, you will not be charged. It's a free account unless you yourself decide to start your own show, which directions will explain. Now, we've been doing it for a while, and no one's ever been charged, you know, for using their credit card to be able to go online. And the big advantage is you'll be able to go into the chat room. And that's a big advantage for us, too, because you can make comment right at the moment, because we move kind of rapidly through different topics. And there may be one thing spoken, and you're not in the queue to call in. But if you throw a comment up there in the chat room, we'll see it right away. And that helps us to track where the energy's going. So, you know, it's I think it's a worthy event to be doing this. I know I feel blessed to be a part of it. So I'm ready to rock if you are, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% with you. I made a post earlier, and I was just one more thing on Instagram, and I was talking about the power of voice. And how, you know, how powerful our voices are. There are times that we don't even realize how powerful it is, or let alone that we're using it, you know, hopefully in the right way. But of course, as I've been saying on Facebook and everything else, how much of it's an honor and it's fun to do this with you. You know, I remembered when
Absolutely.
We first talked about, you know, when we first talked about doing this together and making a commitment, you know, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's a commitment, you know, I mean, just because it's my dad, it's not going to be just, you know, we just kicking it like it's a phone call. Sometimes it may be like that, but that's not the intention.
Right.
You know,
right.
But yeah, I just wanted to say, man, how happy and honored I am that we can do this, you know, that we're preserving maybe even some history, if you will, you know, given the opportunity, you know, to write our own book, you know, through
yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for doing this. I'm glad we're back. And, you know, let's get the cracking. Let's get the cracking.
Yeah,
let's get it going.
I don't know how many fathers there are who have the experience like what I have, you know. Not the fact that we talk a lot, y'all. We do, you know, almost every day. But to do something like this, which requires, you know, prep and, you know, locking a horn sometimes, you know, I can get on my man's nerves in a heartbeat because I'm old. Yeah, that comes with the territory. But I don't know how many fathers there are who have an opportunity to do something with their sons. But I tell you, I'm talking about not when your son is like in the single digits or playing T-ball or, you know, even organized sports in high school. I'm talking about as adults. It's, I tell you, it's truly, it's my glee. It's my joy you know, to have this time spent. And yeah, there are times it turns into a what would be conceived as a phone call. But most of the time that happens because there's nobody calling in. And so we don't cut the show short. You know, we definitely take advantage of the thousand word thing. You know, we have no problem filling dead air with a lot of, you know, with a lot of chatter. But it really is a wonderful thing when folks do call in, and then when folks do queue up, and when folks do make comments. Now, sometimes Will is real caller friendly. You know, I tend to be the asshole. You know, like, I don't have much patience with somebody who wants to dog something out about what we aren't necessarily talking about. And I have no patience with trolls. So if we could have a logo up, it would have trolls with a red slash through it. I got no tolerance for that. Will, on the other hand, will let a troll talk for a minute. You know, well, bless his heart. Bless your heart, man. But I'm old, you know, I ain't got no time to be wasting time. That time is too precious right now. So anyway, I just wanted to just say that, man, that it's really my honor. I think it happens, I believe, so often with so many fathers and sons. I can't speak for mothers and daughters. I can't even speak for fathers and daughters. I have two daughter-in-laws that I love dearly. But I think that a father goes through the thing of experiencing his son wanting his approval, you know, the son wanting the father's approval. But I think as the relationship grows and as we age, it kind of shifts. And at a certain point, you know, the father is looking for the son's approval. You know, it's a very subtle thing. You know, there's no like bells that go off to indicate, oh, you're about to move into that phase, you know. But it makes me feel like an approved father that you do something like this with me. Just wanted to say that, man. So we can, you know, all right, I'm done. We can get to going.
Okay. All right. I was just grabbing some tissue. Excuse me. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, okay, dude. You're a trip.
Yes.
Did I ever tell y'all Will drinks?
Dang. So as you see, we do occasionally throw a few jabs at each other. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, there has been a lot of stuff going on since I think the last I could tell looking back on some of my notes was somewhere in April. You know, we did a show where I did a recap or highlighted a history of the race riots. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but my notes indicate that was our last show. And that would have been like around April 21st or something like that.
Mm.
You know, I don't know the accuracy of that, but just assuming April, it's just hard to believe that, you know, that 7 months almost have gone by. You know?
No, it can't be that far.
Look. You know, I mean, May, there were a lot of things going on. You know, I purchased a ride. You brought it down here. June, we went to Armand's renewal. You know, mm-hmm. Dude's got renewed his wedding. He only been married a year. but you know, I think he's on to something. Of course, he renewed his wedding because when he got married in 2020, most of us couldn't attend because of COVID. And I know I couldn't. So it was a wonderful thing to show up, you know, a year later and, you know, to have the experience that you had, you know, at the original wedding date. But really, man, you know, and I know we didn't do anything, you know, from June on. So I think it has been since April.
No, you know, we've got June in there. And I'm just looking at some of my notes and I know that we did it because I even wrote down one of your jokes. The joke about the priest and the rabbi go to their first boxing match together.
I tell that joke all the time, so I don't know if that validates June. People, you know, as soon as I start telling that joke, usually folks start going to the bathroom. You know, we heard it so many times. We know it already, Bill. We know the punchline and everything. But anyway, so, yeah, but, you know, Well, the point is, it's been a while. You know, whether it's been April, whether it's been June, it's been it's been a few months, and it just feels good to be back on the air. Okay,
yeah.
So a lot has happened over the course of the year. As a matter of fact, what around this time last year, we were cranking it up in regards to the election. That's hard to believe. Almost a year has passed since then. You know,
mm-hmm.
And lordy, lordy, lordy. Yeah. I guess according to some people, the election hasn't been solidified yet. they're still counting somewhere. You know, it's an amazing thing. But I'm not going to start, I'm not going to start tripping and going off the script. So I'll stay in my lane, you know. But it is amazing to me that that an election is almost a year old already. That's pretty phenomenal to me. I remember last year we were talking about, we did a couple shows leading up to the election and even afterwards. We were talking about the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And the thing and what it's about, you know, how it came to be and how much of it was designed to do the very thing that it's doing. I mean, we can say that now, couldn't have said it a year ago. But now we have proof in the fact. It's just what it was designed to do is what it's doing. It was really meant to de-enfranchise or keep people from having any controlling factor of the vote. Disenfranchising folks, yeah. Dis. I should have a lock on dis. Dis is one of our words in our vocabulary. this means this here, disenfranchise, yeah. You know, and really I've seen disenfranchisement as the Electoral College was designed to do its magic. It's what's going on right now. And nobody's talking about it. None of the talking heads are acknowledging for 1 second that the way the Electoral College was designed is exactly what it's doing today. You know, and I think, I don't know, but I have a feeling that it's just hard for the controlling faction, you know, to believe that they could do this to themselves. Isn't that ironic? Yeah, so.
What are some things that you're noticing?
Well, let's take a look at since the election. First of all, most people did not understand how the Electoral College operated. Most people believed that one vote, one person, that's it. You know, most people did not understand how the Electoral College and the popular vote means two different things. They may be reflective of who gets the most popular votes will win, but there's no guarantee that the popular vote will indicate who's going to win. And that's really the system that people are pushing to go to. Let's just do the count of the votes and let's move on. The Electoral College was meant to sort of balance out the playing field, but you had to be a player to be a part of the field. And of course, our government, our sense of government has grown leaps and bounds in its own greed and its own control since the Electoral College was first developed. So now when it comes down to giving an accurate account of the tabulations of Electoral College votes, which has to do with delegates and representatives, and then the state signing off that its electoral count is valid or certified, that's the final tally that is done in January to determine who the certified president is based on not the popular vote, but the state delegation votes. So in January, if you remember, of this year, seems like ancient history, it was this big push to have Pence invalidate the election,
right,
which he had no power to do. The powers that be, knowing that most of the people had absolutely no idea how the Electoral College worked, and being backed by the conspiracy of voter fraud, especially with that, what was it, Dominion voting machines, you know, giving Biden, giving Trump votes to Biden, you know, and thinking that it could be hacked, but voting machines don't have hardware. So there's no way you can hack it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The conspiracy theory had already taken root. So the idea was that votes don't really mean anything from the Electoral College, meaning that that can be overturned by the vice president, whose sole job is to confirm what has already been certified by every state as being a valid account of what each state's tally has already approved of to give to its particular presidential candidate its approval for that particular person to be president. So all that went out the window because this guy, this little brat, you know, did not want to deal with, you know, due process, did not want to make what has always been the issue anyway since the inception of the Electoral College, didn't want to make it valid, instead wanted to use it in the way it's always been used to disenfranchise those who weren't of the ruling class. You know, in other words, he wasn't ready to give up his presidency, even though he had been voted out. He figured he found a loophole, and he figured the loophole was his vice president. And he decided to tell the people, you know, that not only was it, you know, a fraudulent vote, but they had the right, based on the Constitution, you know, to to reclaim, you know, its franchise. And, you know, that dude, what gets me about him, he always harped on people like Obama, you know, as being those people like Obama as being those who led from behind. And he was this businessman, big huffy puffy bully, you know, who leads the charge. So he invoked this insurrection, and what did he do? You know, he led not only from behind, he led from the comfort of his own room and watched it on television with his folks. They sat around drinking beer and eating popcorn, you know, like it was some kind of reality show. And so without going any further, and I'm hoping that I came close to touching on what you asked, you know, it's a matter of understanding that without without a clear path, without a clear understanding, without not having been educated correctly, people really do tend to follow the mob rule. If we don't like a thing, we can overthrow it or we can change it. But that's always been the real blessing of the Constitution. Its amendments have always been designed to appease the people of a particular time, to maintain the degree of social calm when otherwise it would be social unrest. All the amendments, if anybody ever took time to look at them, would realize each one added served a particular time, at a particular time, during a time of social unrest in this country. And not every amendment obviously happened at the same time. You know, so it's an interesting thing if anyone ever wanted to take the time to really understand. You know, my greatest fear is that I'm just going to die without, and I'm 74 now, so, you know, I'm on the shadow side of the hill now. You know, and I've never really had a sense of being a citizen of this country. I mean, I know I am. I got a birth certificate. I got a driver's license. I vote. I pay taxes. Well, I don't have to worry about it now because, anyway, let me shut up. I don't know who might be listening. But the point is, I've never really had a sense of belonging to this country or this country belonging to me. It's been, for as far as I can remember having any degree of social consciousness, it's always been a struggle to know who I really am in this country and how I'm really seen and what I'm really about. I've always felt like I've been the outsider. There was this steakhouse in Chicago downtown called Ronnie's Steakhouse. And I remember one time, one of the first times I was in that steakhouse, sitting down, getting ready to eat, and I was right by a plate glass window. And it was about three or four kids outside of the, on the other side, the street side of the plate glass window, looking in, licking their lips, you know, and, you know, well, begging in a sense, you know, and that's kind of how I felt, how I feel, how I've always felt. The closest I came to not feeling that way was when Obama was elected, but still there was an element of disconnect even there. Yeah, I could take pride in, you know, in some degree of his pigmentation, but still he was running a government, and it wasn't like, you know, he could run it with a gavel in any way he wanted like Trump has tried to do. But, you know, and he was a, you know, constitutional lawyer. He understood from Harvard. He understood the Constitution. And I never really felt a part of that understanding, though. I never really felt a part of being intricate enough that my vote really has mattered. I've always felt like a pawn in the whole system. What I really want to do, and that's politics. That's just how it is. Okay. But for me, what I really want to do, my bucket list, and I've been to Washington, D.C. three times, and I haven't done it, is to make a sojourn, if you will, you know, a Hajj even, you know, and to go to the, you know, even if I have to walk around the fringe of it, but to go to the White House, even if I just have to walk along the gate, you know, to go to the Supreme Court building, the Senate, you know, to visit, you know, the Washington Monument. And that I forget what they call that big fountain out there, you know, where the Washington Monument reflects. Mm-hmm. And where you've been there, you know, you went there with the, you know, with the 20 million, with the Million Man March, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen parts of D.C. that I long to see. And I'm sure just from what you did in going to that Million Man March, you probably feel more like a part of by having walked that ground than I do. You were actually there, man. You don't know how proud that made me. You know, that's two marches that I missed. You know, I missed the march on Washington, you know, in 63, I think it was, where King gave the I Have a Dream speech and so many other things took place, and I missed the Million Man March. You know, I should say I didn't go. I didn't miss them. It's not like I was at work. You know, but the fact that you went was like, for me, somewhat of a serendipitous, well, not serendipitous, but more of a kind of, I had a chance to experience through you the being there, you know, that I otherwise never would have had contact with. So I don't really know what a black man is supposed to feel like when it comes to being a part of this system of government. All I know is what I've experienced in my life. And what I've experienced in my life is a struggle to feel like I'm even noticed. You know, and I listen to these themes that have gone on even just since January. And I think it's even ironic in that degree, you know, that the very issues that even today that they're fighting about amongst themselves, you know, and even the talking heads that are people of color or women of color, you know, which are people of color, duh, you know, that even amongst the fighting, you know, elite, you know, who have their talk shows and they, you know, have all their research right in front of them and they have, you know, all of their working crews to be sure that they're up to date, you know, even they, with all of what they share with one another, have yet to acknowledge, at least on the air, the tie-in from the Electoral College to today, how the issues that were first designed are the issues that they're dealing with now. It's like America on the whole, white America, if you will, are all having a black experience, you know, when it comes to the issues of disenfranchisement, when it comes to the issues of the rights to vote, when it comes to issues of voting, and to the point now where, you know, people are saying that this democratic form of government is under the greatest threat it's ever been under, and it could very well be that it's about to collapse. Well, okay, but collapse on who? you know, and collapse how? And but there's certain elements, even if we talked about the Civil War, there's certain elements, you know, that make the kind of, I just watched Gettysburg for the last, I can't hang with a 4-hour movie like I used to, so I had to watch it in two parts. But, you know, in watching it, you know, again, you know, it just stunned me. In watching it still again, how there are so many people who watch a movie like that expecting the outcome to be different and still are waging that war. But to have that civil war today, there's certain elements of our society that have severely changed. One thing, you know, Republicans were the ruling factor when the Civil War broke out. Well, okay. The other thing is that it was all white men who sat in Congress who dealt with the issues of slavery, you know, amongst other things, but that was the prevailing theme, or so people would have you believe. Well, you know, now you have East Indian women running, you know, different segments of Congress that kind of control the deciding factors of how people are going to look at things. I mean, it's really, but the other thing, the biggest thing to me, and Will, you've heard me tell, and I'm going to shut up. This is the last minute, and I'm going to back up and back off. This last thing that I want to just make comment about that has changed more than anything else since the Civil War are athletes. You know, there weren't athletes in the 19th century. Oh, there were slaves who entertained the slave masters playing certain sports and boxing and all that. But we're talking about high-profile, paid athletes. You know, what side of the fence are they going to walk if some kind of civil unrest truly broke out? And how would it be televised? Would we still have sporting events, you know, during the Civil War? So these are the kind of, I guess, you know, I have too much time on my hands. These are the kind of things that course through this old shaky brain of mine. It's not the 19th century. This is the 21st century, you know. And there are themes that exist today that are going to require a completely different understanding of humanism, you know, in America anyway, and its effect on today's global economy. It's not like it was in the 1800s. You know, but it's not the kind of thing that is talked about, because it's almost like these talking heads think that the listeners' heads would explode if they had to hear a true account of how American history has failed to educate us all. So anyway, man, I don't know if I even came anywhere near answering what you were asking. And if not, well, too late now.
No, it's cool. Before I respond, just wanted to, another reminder for our listeners. I mentioned earlier when you call in, when you use the phone line and you press 1, brings you up in the queue. And we joked about maybe we should have got the phrase correctly. Why use 100 words when 1,000 will do? Because, you know, sometimes we get into these discussions, and even though you do press 1 and we appreciate it, we may not have the opportunity to bring you in right at that moment when you press 1. So one thing we just like to always ask is that you be patient. That's why you get your pen and pad. And, you know, when we have a moment, we will definitely bring you in. It's not like we're purposely ignoring you unless you call before and you're a troll. But we're not ignoring you or anything like that. So,
well,
you know,
Will's not ignoring you. That's guaranteed. I'm not always quick to give up my airtime. go ahead, man.
No, that was it. So I know that there was a caller that had to break away, so I just wanted to respond to that.
Right.
I do see somebody else just press 1. Hey, caller, we'll bring you in just a second. Area code 860-416. But I just wanted to respond before we bring that call in. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Cool with you? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I was just curious. I guess I should have put more into the question. And I was just wondering if, you know, it's been almost a year now, you know, and there's been some changes, and there hasn't been changes, you know. Just, I guess in the end, I was just wondering, do you think that because there's been more knowledge, at least about the Electoral College, and that, you know, Dew was out and Biden is in, that, you know, do you feel like America's happy, America as a total, as a, you know, are they happy with where we are right now, or do you feel like we're just kind of in limbo, you know, maybe looking forward to the continued changes that we can make, because change takes time. You know, we just had another election. You know, there's been some governor changes and stuff like that just recently. But just in general, you know, there's still voting right issues that still haven't been addressed. And at times, it's even difficult in a lot of states now for people's voting rights. There's still the question of proper consequences being executed to white people, white politicians, you know. But I guess I just wanted your opinion if you felt like, you know, there's been some relief, or maybe, you know, do you feel like we're kind of cool, kind of happy where things are right now?
Well, you're asking, you know, a different question than the way I perceived it. You know, no, I don't think there's any degree of happy right now. I think there's degrees of passivity or passive. Anyway, I think people are just waiting to see. Yeah, I think people are just waiting to see. But waiting to see without any understanding of what the expected outcome is. See, we have an uninformed society right now. I mean, I think more so than at any other time, with all of what's available to us, it seems to have overwhelmed the population to a point to where no one really knows who to trust, what to think, or, well, what to believe. So it's like, if that was not the case, there's no way that a thing that happened in D.C. in January would stretch all the way out through the interim of the year to the point where we're about to lap a year now, and still people are like, oh, yeah, but that wasn't really, you know, that bad. Well, it was as much of a riot as any riot could be, but the players were different, and it's the shadow of American society that revealed itself in January that American society is not willing to look at. You know, but that's not a sudden thing. That's been the failure of American history anyway, where it's never accurately taught its own behavior for the past 300, 400, 500 years. I don't know, as far back as you want to think. You know, so it's a matter of people finding comfort in not even wanting to know what's going on and just wait to see where the bricks may fall. You know, and it's a whole lot of posturing, a whole lot of finger pointing, a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that. But it comes down to a whole lot of ignorance. People really just don't want to be bothered with trying to investigate what's really going on in the place that delegates have been assigned to write the laws. It's not like laws are being written by other people and then our representatives in Congress are going to vote on it. They're the ones writing the law. They're the ones interpreting the laws. They're the ones dictating the laws. And those of us, and I'm saying us, not meaning black people, I'm saying those of us who are just ordinary taxpayers, we don't even see how we're a pawn in this thing. That's the game of politics. The pawns are us, all of the taxpayers. And they're playing the games of politics at our expense, and they're pushing the buttons as the buttons can be pushed. So some people, yeah, are just dismayed. Some people are disappointed. Some people are frustrated. And some people don't give a shit. You know, it's like, well, they're just going to do what they want to do anyway. And they will. But they are those who are supposed to be speaking for us. And this was the point I was trying to make earlier, that I don't know what that us is. I vote, yeah, but I don't know what that means. You know, I just see how it pans out. And I'm not happy. I'm not anywhere near satisfied. As a matter of fact, I'm pissed. But so what? You know, at the way that these folks are just taking advantage of the ignorances of the people and presenting themes that just simply are not true. And we got these buzzwords like conspiracy theories that we throw around like that somehow makes it all, you know, it's like a side joke or something. No, yeah. This is tampering with my life stuff. And there's nothing I see. A guy like Joe Manchin, you know, a senator from West Virginia. Well, West Virginia, what the hell, man? How can this dude be holding up the show for a bill that is designed to repave America, just as one element of it, not to mention other aspects of it, you know, as far as the Build Back Better plan is concerned? You know, I mean, no. But, see, my issue isn't with him. He loves the fact that his posturing gets all this news coverage. This dude from West Virginia, otherwise nobody would ever know who he was. But, okay, my voice is starting to get high. I'm starting to get cranked up. So, you know, I hope you're getting my drift here. It's like it's an insult to my intelligence to see this game being played out at the people's expense. Now, how in the hell could I be okay with that? How could you be okay with that? But it's almost like we want to take a backseat of indifference, like, well, it's them doing them. No, it's them doing us, you know. The things that they decide not to do don't affect them. They still get paid. Yeah. They still got, you know, these fraudulent jobs, you know, these fake jobs, you know, these fake identities that they get paid for, you know. But we're the ones who pay for all that. They don't. It's called taxes. Texas. Taxes. You know, and I don't know. It's a supreme lunacy that would even suggest that anybody at this point of the history of our country could be okay with what's going on right now. I don't see how anybody could be. But that's just me.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. I was, your voice got high, and I immediately thought about that robot, the boomerang. So, get you off of that.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier, thanks again, Dad. We're going to go ahead and bring in a caller. That's cool with you, Dad?
Yeah, we'll absolutely.
Bring in a caller. Why not, right? Area code 860-416. We'll bring you on in, and appreciate you taking the time to listen and be a part of the show. Good evening and welcome.
Well, thank you, Cousin Will. It was interesting listening to your father, Billy. I don't listen to him often, and I've been thanking God every day for that.
I better mute myself before I start cussing.
Yes, we're good. Just don't mute yourself. As I was listening, there are a number of different thoughts I had as regards those who choose not to know. There's an old saying that ignorance is no, but stupidity is not wanting to know. And I think that unfortunately people lean on the old idea of being of wanting to be stupid, as if that was an antidote to the things that they don't want to see. Your dad was talking about the few times he has felt like he was an American, and I too, you know, like him, I'm a veteran. So happy Veterans Day's a day for everyone for tomorrow who served.
Absolutely. Thank you.
There are two times in my life that I felt like an American. 2 days. 9/11, when the United States was attacked, for whatever reason, our nation came together on that singular day, in that horrid moment when your dad wrote that profound piece that was worthy of a Pulitzer. That one day stopped me cold, and breathing was difficult yet freeing. I was frightened and angry and crowd all in one time. The other day was what I referred to as the night that Oprah cried. And that was in Grant Park, the night that Obama was finally named as president. That singular night, and the next day, I felt like an American. That certainly was the way as the dogs came and attacked. You know, there's that old African saying that a dog will bark at you, but a pack will attack you. So after the pack got together, it began the attack on Obama to diminish and try to destroy him, and I was awakened to the truth of what this nation was and how it would respond to being led by a black person. My other thought was as it regards where are we today, coming out of this epidemic, this pandemic, with the lockdown and the change of social norms, how the nation was sick at the same time having a president who was even sicker, who forced people to choose ugly sides. Either you were evil or you were good, and everybody thought the other one was evil and thought they were good. As this horrid, terrible pandemic struck us down and stopped the wills of this mighty nation from grinding on, and all of that has put a pall over the psyche. I spend much time in schools that I'm contracted to work with, and it's stark that many children are not socialized, that the normal social behavior they're unable to grasp simply because they were at home for a year and a half under the supervision, hopefully, of some mothers and fathers who are also probably broken and torn up because of the pandemic. So, in Billy's response to how could anyone feel happy right now when we don't even know what we're coming out of and what we're going into. I guess I'm meandering around in my thoughts, but those were the responses that rattled around in my head over the last few moments.
Instead of and thank you, cuz I appreciate that, Deacon Hardy, ladies and gentlemen. Instead of saying happy, maybe a question that maybe I would ask, you used the term ugly thoughts, you know, the bullies were kind of like taken over, just ignorant behavior. Do you think that maybe some of those thoughts, that mindset is changing, those ugly thoughts aren't really there? I mean, bullies are not accepted like they were for the last 4 years, let's say.
Wonderful question. So let me talk and think at the same time. I think that we've discovered that happiness is situational, but joy is eternal. You can be filled with joy and not happy in the moment, or you can be happy because you got a new car, a new job, or some money, but your life is not filled with joy. I'm hoping that we are searching for a greater understanding of what joy is, that this peripheral, this tangential, this surface happiness is not what serves us as human beings, nor as a nation. I think you put a hand on that, because there was this real love of being a part of something. Even if I didn't feel it, I knew it was there. I knew how this country was, even if I, like your dad and many black folks, have never felt like they were truly a part of it, but at least I knew it existed. And in that way, I could live as a part of it. But now, I wouldn't say that they now know how it feels to be black, because you've got to be black in order to feel what it means to be black. However, you can feel in ways that things that you don't have control over stuff. And I think that's what many white folks are feeling. They know they're losing control. And, as we know, no superior power will ever give up that power willingly. It is always taken. And this, I believe, is the genesis of this battle that's coming of not wanting to give up power. And that's why you have, you know, Joe Manchin and Manchin, whatever his name is, or states like Texas, or who are talking about seceding from the United States. You know, that all that kind of, you know, hogwash.
Right on. Thanks. Hey, thank you for calling in. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Really good to hear your voice.
I also enjoy posting to your website my daily prayers.
But. Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for contributing to that. Yeah. Thank you so
much. And thank you for allowing me to speak.
Absolutely. Dad, did you have anything?
No, go ahead, man.
No, that was it. We're just wrapping it up. I didn't know if you had any questions or anything else.
No, no questions.
Mm-mm. Okay, are you going to stick around and listen, you know, or are you going to be around for a while? Cousin? Deacon?
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about your dad. Yes, I am.
Okay, awesome.
I love listening to your dad.
Yeah, I do too. I forgot how much work I got to do to keep up with him.
How much work you got to do to tolerate me? Yeah.
No,
how
no,
much
it's patience fun with
take.
You. I mean
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, I mean that.
You know, I don't really. My perception of this country is very different than ours, and that's nothing. You know. So there's no good and no bad, you know, in that at all. You know, it's the way it works. You know, I don't use words like joy and happiness when it comes to trying to understand the workings of government. I look at things like satisfied and unsatisfied. You know, joy and happiness I seek in my own personal life. But as far as what the rule of government is concerned, I am so completely dissatisfied. But I think, you know, I've been dissatisfied all my life. You know, yeah, I had a personal victory with Obama being elected, but it didn't make me a proud American, you know, and I didn't feel any pride in this country when 9/11 happened and the aftermath of that. In fact, what it did was kind of, for me, you know, it raised a different level of consciousness to kind of reflect what Malcolm X said when he was, you know, crucified by the press, you know, chickens coming home to roost, where that was completely taken out of context. You know, it's the very nature of this country has been violent. You know, violence has always been the fist that has determined the direction of this idea of democracy. You know, it has never been an attitude of peace. It has always been a dominating factor of power and control. And people have paid a great price for that, whether they be red, whether they be yellow, and I don't mean high yellow, or whether they be black, or whether they be female, or whether they be of any other persuasion religiously or any other cultural representation in this country. It has been a dominating factor of the way this Constitution and Declaration of Independence was designed. It did not have anything but white men in mind. And that has been threatened ever since the signing of that Declaration of Independence and ever since the penning of the Constitution. But the problem has been an inaccuracy of history. You know, America has denied the people the truth of its history. So we would rather believe the movie. We'd rather believe the cartoon. You know, we'd rather believe the deception. It's more comfortable that way. I mean, I get it. You know, but the truth, you know, denied brings us to a place where we are today, where the truth is still struggling, gasping, you know, to have a breath of expression that is received as fact, you know, that is received as honesty, that is received as truth. You know, so it's the way we are not educated today that just absolutely sets me on edge. It's the lack of interest and any degree of investment in truly understanding how the politics of this nation operates. There are people in this country right now who believe this country could stand on its own legs. It doesn't need the rest of the world to operate. There are people who really, I'm talking about controlling factions of this society, who absolutely turn a blind eye to the fact that this country is being sold to other nations right out from under our very eyes as Americans. I mean, there is so little, in just a second, there is so little about the idea that pie in the sky rhetoric that is being sold, you know, about how this government, this democratic nation operates, while people, you know, of this same democratic nation have lived nothing other than the experience of having a boot on their necks.
Is this the moment?
That's all. I'm muting myself again.
No, it's not that I disagree with that. And my recognition of joy and happiness is a personal thing. And so I guess when you said that you disagree, I think we're in agreement that whether or not the joy is legitimate or not, you know, isn't the question. I think when we look and diagnose, you know, the pall that's over this nation, which we are a part of, like it or not, there was this thought of that they had this joy of being in control of their destiny. And that controlling factor has lost that. And their struggle, as I had mentioned, is the struggle of not being in power anymore. And as you said, anytime that happens, there is this, you know, as you had mentioned earlier, all of the amendments to the Constitution were based on some kind of revolution, where some kind of change had to occur, and it was never really ever done willingly. You know, none of the events that changed this nation, that made it better for others, were done willingly by those who were in power. That has not changed. What has changed was what floor, and that was, yo, we're losing power. And in that sense, those people who did that, those white folks in this overwhelming pull that permeates this nation, not only what did it come at the time of this pandemic, but it was equally this terrible pandemic that people would deny as much as they denied history that was real. So that's the nature, I believe, that our nation is in right now. Now, I won't defend, you know, my feelings of, you know, how I felt on that September 11th, nor will I defend how joyous I felt for the one of maybe the few times in my life I ever felt like an American on that night at Grant Park in Chicago. But in terms of that joy and is a national joy that I do not think exists, whether we're a part of that joy or not. As you said, you can have a personal joy, but the joy within the nation is not existent. However, we live in a nation that has this joy, and that joy has been rocked because those who are in control of that nation are no longer, they feel like they're not in control, and Trump was the one who pointed that out to them, which frightened them, which is causing them to have this rise of hatred and fear.
That I don't agree with that at all. Yeah,
I know you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, Trump was one man, you know, and he was elected by a body of people in whatever form
Absolutely.
That took. And his whole reign of terror, you know, the racist, disenfranchising, bullying, violent disregard, his narcissistic behavior made it clear that that's what the majority of America wanted. Because nowhere, through two attempts to shut this man down, did it ever happen. Even now, they're still bringing charges against him. It is showing the very bad fabric of American society.
I would go back to that one statement that a dog by itself will bark at you, but a pack of dogs will attack you.
Well, he ain't by himself. He ain't never been by himself.
What he did was to get all the dogs together.
All the dogs got him.
That's what he did.
No, the dogs found him. He was perfect for them. That's been a regular theme of our society. Reagan did it. When Bush stole the election, he did it. You know, and the thing that, and my point, if there is a point to be made where history has failed Americans, is that there's never been a clear understanding taught and spoken from the podium of the network of news, how president along the way during his term has had some impact on the very issues of society that has led to some degree of control called amendments to the Constitution. The amendments made were to calm the people and control the people. It was never meant to rob the factions in charge of their power. It was just to ensure their power would continue by not having to deal with any social unrest. Yeah, so this whole thing of what Trump did was pull out an old play card. That's all. And people, just like when Reagan talked about the silent majority, you know, they just pulled out old play cards. And American society has never been okay with this theme of democracy as being an equal part of the greater whole. It has been a constant struggle, you know, since the 1700s. It hasn't gone away.
Ain't nobody disagrees.
I'm not looking for agreement or disagreement. I'm just making a statement. You know, that's all.
Right.
I'm not even looking for a debate of the point. You know, it's just the clarity of what I'm talking about, not what you're talking about.
I'm sorry. I thought you said earlier that you completely disagree with me.
I completely disagree with anybody. You know, what I disagreed with was a concept of being proud, you know, and that was my own personal statement. It's not disagreeing with you. You have a right to be proud about everything. You know, for me, don't look at those two incidents, 9/11 or Obama's election, as the opportunity for me to feel like a proud American. That's what I was disagreeing with, that doesn't affect me that way. That's all. Nothing more and nothing less. Yeah.
Okay.
And the concept of joy and happiness, you know, I don't think I'd be able to still be here, you know, in this present body if there wasn't that hope of joy and happiness, you know, that has driven my every step. But when it comes to government, it's a matter of being satisfied or unsatisfied. And I've never been satisfied with this government. But, like I said, that's just me.
All right.
Amen.
Right on. Wow. That was cool. Thank you, guys. Good spirited conversation.
But I think we chased everybody else off. I apologize, y'all.
No. It's first show back. Oh, okay. All right. All right, so we made it to the top of the hour. All right, and we're still on the air, I believe.
Well,
Mike, check,
we are.
1-2-1-2.
But well, you know, yeah, I think I talked too much this time. What can I say? First show, right?
First show. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Come on, man. Throw it on out there. Let me get off my soapbox, man.
I thought you were about to follow up with something. You had me on the edge waiting to hear what you had to say.
No, maybe I think, again, I apologize. I think I've said too much, but I don't know how not to with the theme of this current situation in our country. And for me, it feels like it's coming to an ugly head.
Well,
you know, the themes of violence have not dissipated. They have gotten more severe, you know.
Well,
and I don't see how. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just wanted to say, like, you know, I think that this is something that I don't really ask questions on this show, and this is just me kind of not really talking to you, Dad, but just, you know, out there. You know, sometimes I don't throw questions out there just to throw a filler, just to keep the conversation going. I think these are questions that, and we talked about before, Dad, that these are questions and discussions, conversations that we should have. These are things that we should not forget. You know, it's been, you know, a few months. He's been in office almost a year. And so we need to hold these people accountable, you know, and stop giving people the way out. You know, I haven't been following politics as much as you have lately. So I don't know, you know, what the pulse is like, what people's energy is like, what this country is like right now. I know that we're still dealing with wounds that haven't healed with these two trials that's going on right now. Rittenhouse and those other three guys that executed that brother, you know, the vice president hasn't been around as much now. She's kind of faded into the bushes. So, you know, we kind of get a little lazy. You know, we kind of get a little lax. We sleep sometimes at the wheel after a while. And I think in order to talk about it and make sure that we know what's happening, I think that we need to have these questions and this type of discussion, whether it is spirited or not. At least have the ability to say, well, I don't disagree with you, and then still keep talking about it. At the end, you guys kind of had a slight understanding, you know, where people that wasn't used to our conversations, they'd be like, oh my God, you know. You know, so I hope that makes sense. And I just don't want to see us wait until 3 years later and then start trying to remember what's been done or what hasn't been done.
Well, you know, I don't think memory has to, you know, wait that long. You know, I think what's important is that memory needs to be fed with facts, and facts need to be supported by history, and history speaks for itself when taught correctly. You know, but like American society as I know it, it depends on me not wanting to know the truth of this country. You know, I was raised at a time, yeah, here I go. You know, I was raised at a time when we believed the propaganda as being truth. Well, you believe propaganda long enough, even when you uncover the fact that there's some lies, it's still hard to deprogram the propaganda. You know, I mean, I was raised at a time when Indians were the evil people, you know, and cowboys, you know, were the good people. I was raised at a time when John Wayne was truly reflective of American values. And, you know, I was raised at a time where I went to the movies to watch Elvis Presley, you know. So I was raised at a time when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan and people went crazy for the Beatles. You know, I was raised at a time when what was seen on the big screen developed in Hollywood was the true belief that this is what America is all about. It was a long time before it dawned on me that I didn't see myself in any of this. And it's been even longer that I've been waiting to see myself in any of this. I just read not too long ago that for the 10th year in a row, the student populations in the public school system of Chicago has declined again. You know,
yeah.
Well, to me, if you want a young mind to show up to your institution, then make that young mind visible in your institution. Teach him or her about themselves. This is the bull crap that was done to Native Americans. They were sent to schools to learn about the history of the dominating faction of those that were destroying Native American cultures, and somehow trying to get it into the Native American's head that you should hate being Native American. Well, that's the same crap I've been raised by, and that's the same crap I've seen my own people use against us, where we feel so inferior that we try to be something else. by finding fault in who we are. Why would somebody want to go to a school that's trying to shove that down their throat? You know, it's a great atrocity as far. And I don't know. I don't know how to pretend any longer. I don't know how to just leave it alone any longer. You know, I feel like I can say what I feel without sounding crazy. You know, I feel like I can say what I feel without causing others to feel like a threat or feel threatened by me. You know, and I sure don't want to feel like a threat to others just because I'm, you know, speaking what I'm speaking. I don't know if I'm violent. I don't know if I'm nonviolent. You know, I don't know if I believe in any means necessary. All I know is that this is a difficult time, you know, to be an American. And I tell you, man, I'm just absolutely, I am so overwhelmingly proud of the vast majority of black men walking this earth right now, especially this part of the earth, that you all have been able to weather the storm in the ways that most of you, the great majority of you have. You know, black men in Chicago far outnumber the number of incidents that the news loves to throw in our faces from Inglewood. You know, I am just so overwhelmingly proud of how, you know, black men in America have, you know, carried the fight when so many aspects of this society, you know, does everything it can to continue to invisibilize y'all. You know, and so I don't know how to just mute that voice anymore when I'm becoming more and more apparent to me that all of the vehicles that America has had at its beck and call has been used, you know, to paint a picture of invisibility, you know, to so many black men. And we've had to find what identity works in America for us to be able to be given a voice, but not to say what we really feel. Well, that's functional schizophrenia. You know, yeah, it can be popular. You know, we can win over, you know, some approval of others. We can have a nice little neat circle of people around us that cheer our, you know, every time we stand up, you know, but I'm just through that, you know, amazed that we even had the wherewithal to do that, to even attempt to have a healthy enough ego to have a place in this society of ours, man. I'm proud of you guys. I really am.
Yeah, and I feel like in so many ways,
I feel like in so many ways, my culture has let y'all down. You know, not let you down by not providing, you know, not let you down by not guiding, but let you down by not truly teaching, you know, what American history has done to us. You know, we don't write enough. We don't share enough, you know. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I think that that's kind of part of the okey-doke of American history, the rope-a-dope, you know, the fake-out. People wonder, what does he mean by the okey-doke? You know, the things that you're talking about, things that we have talked about, the system, I think, you know, and I've heard you say that before about letting us down. Maybe this is just me, you know, trying to, you know, give defense to the good things that you've done. And a lot of people, of your generation has helped my generation. But at the same time, it's just, you know, I think part of the system, but I think by having these discussions, again, you know, being aware of what's happening, you know, it's almost like the phrase of being woke almost, but just making sure we didn't really fall asleep completely. But that's just me, you know, and that's, you know, our relationship and the relationship of my elders, you know, that you're familiar with, you know, I don't feel like you guys let us down. I think it was just one of those things where it was too late.
Yeah, because Let me clarify where I'm coming from with that. Like I said, I'm not talking about having been providers or, you know, all of the other social elements. I'm talking about, look, in the 60s, I was privy to have more black leaders than I could shake a stick at, male and female, on every faction of every aspect of our society. You know, even how I lived in my neighborhood, all of my heroes didn't have, you know, fences around their homes. We lived, functioned together. Yeah, okay, it was a social and geographically and economically, you know, segregated system, but we operated within it with a degree of pride, you know, with an understanding of self. We are leaders, which is everywhere we could look, whether they were, you know, dominant by titles of reverend or whether they were held in high esteem because of wonderful works, you know, not just of the music industry, you know, not just wonderful works of artistry, but also, you know, incredible works put to pen and paper. You know, it was an expectation, you know, to excel. We had a guy, Thurgood Marshall, that sat in the Supreme Court. Now we have Clarence Thomas. You know, we had black governors in states like Maine. Now we have this dude who had to finally be booted out because he, you know, just got so overwhelmed. I'm talking about Cuomo, got so overwhelmed by his own stature that he did himself in. You know, now we're seeing, you know, a rise in other culture representations in our society. But where I'm coming from and talking about, I feel like my generation let you down. We did not lay a clear pathway to politics. Our leaders have been reduced to one or two people who we see all the time. And we learn about people like Elijah Cummings and John Lewis after they're dead, because nothing about their living legacy has been carried on. That's what I'm talking about, letting you down. You know, we permitted, you know, promiscuously so, you know, a rise in certain aspects of entertainment that turned black women into adversaries, you know, and not accomplices. You know, that's where I'm talking about, you know, we let y'all down. You know, we didn't maintain that air of pride in who we are, not how we could manufacture something we're not by gathering a number of artificial pieces and just somehow glue it or tattoo it or hang it around our necks as being a statement of who we become. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we still haven't gained anything in the money market. You know, what banks we had in so many black communities have been overtaken by these corporations that we've gotten so used to seeing. We invest in them without even thinking about the fact that none of that shit comes back to the neighborhood. You know, we used to have neighborhood grocery stores. Now we're giving our money away to chain stores that hire us at minimum wage and, you know, and treat us like, you know, paid slaves. You know, there was a time when there was a war against poverty. Now it's a war against the poor. You know, now a black man, you know, before a black man who got an education and returned to the hood, he was scorned by the hood. Now a black man who gets an education and goes to Congress, he's scorned by Congress. That's why I feel we let y'all down.
Yeah, I do think about when it comes to politics, let's say, our career politicians, our black career politicians, you know, who are still alive, barely hanging on. But there doesn't seem to be like a passing of the baton in that sense.
Amen. We dropped.
You know,
thank you for saying that, because that's what I mean by I'm just really I marvel at, you know, like how your generation has picked up that baton. You know, man, when George Floyd was murdered, and the news was just all over the place about different cities in upheaval, it was amazing to me to see so many young black men and young black women, you know, in important places of office, you know, whether it was mayors, whether it was lieutenant governors, chief of police. Man, it's like, you know, that was supposed to be the baton passed, but instead it was the one picked up, man. Okay, I cut you off. Well, I'm sorry, man.
No, it's cool. I was just, you know, just letting you know, just from that particular example, you know, I hear what you're saying. And I think that that's something for my generation now to look at. You know, what are we passing on to the next generation? You know, what knowledge are we giving on to them? Trades and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of skills? You know, so that's all. I was just agreeing, understanding, I should say, with what you were saying. But as you know, sometimes it gets a little personal for me when we talk about, you know, you and I. So I think that's
just
came out a little bit. So, man, it's almost we're about an hour and a half already into the show. You know how time flies once we kind of get smoking here. But before we start rushing to the end, okay, good night, ladies and gentlemen. It'd be like 8:58. Okay, see you next week. I just want to take a moment to put this out there. And again, you know, hopefully those that's listening live, again, thank you. Those that are listening to our recorded archive show, thank you. But for those that are people in the health and wellness industry, I just wanted to take a moment to reach out to you. For those that are in nonprofit organizations, charitable organizations, I wanted to take a moment to speak to you. I wanted to open an invitation for those in health and wellness, those that work for nonprofits, charitable organizations. If you're ever interested or want to just give us a moment just to acknowledge you, you want to come on the show for an interview, or maybe even just for an advertisement or commercial or whatever, I want you to reach out to me. And again, this is just something that I thought about. You know, Dan and I have talked about it in the past, and while we had a moment, I just wanted to say this. You know, part of the greenhouse effect is just that. It's a greenhouse effect. It's how we're able to help each other in order to grow and to build and to live. That's why we call it the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. So I just wanted to take a moment to reach out again and let you all know that we are here. We're here for each other. And we would like to extend an invitation. If you're ever interested in coming on the show, letting us know what you do, just, you know, have an interview with us, or maybe again, you just want us to, you know, do some social media advertising. I don't know. Email me at, and I hope you got your pen and paper handy, like we asked you earlier. It's evolvethetribe@gmail.com, all one word, lowercase, evolvethetribe@gmail.com. Send me an email. Let me know who you are, what you got, and I'll contact you ASAP, and we'll go from there. So that's just our little PSA here. And again, we're live every Wednesday, so you know where you can find us every Wednesday night. So that's all I just wanted to put out there. So yeah, it's already 8:30. I'm still kind of struggling with some of this daylight savings time. The other day, I woke up, it was 4:30, and I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, I'm good. Let's get the day going. I'm up early. I can get a lot accomplished. But, man, by 9:30, I was asleep. I was knocked by 9:30 at night.
It's funny.
I'm on the couch snoring, man. I was out. What were you saying?
It's funny. It's funny how just an hour can make, you know, it's like a continuous jet lag, you know. It takes a while takes a while.
And here in the Chicago area, at 4:30, man, it's already dark.
And where I am, we're on the very cutting edge of Central Standard Time. You know, I really think, you know, this should be Mountain Time. So, you know, that just trips me out, you know. But then when you're experiencing, you know, sunrise, you know, it's still pitch black. It's weird.
That's weird.
You know, it's weird.
But I wonder if it's the time change or maybe just because I'm just getting a little older, you know.
Well,
50 in 10 days, you know. So.
Well, yeah, my man. Fitty.
Yeah, my man.
You know, let me just do for you what wasn't done for me. Yeah, these are the important things to pay attention to. You better believe it's because you're aging. You know, it's a welcome thing if recognized. Otherwise, you're going to go from shooting hoops to barely being able to get up out your chair and not know what happened to the time, you know. So it's good that you're making those notes. Make them, you know, and save them for your son, you know, or your sons and daughters if you have more children, that they understand. That was never given to me. A subtle, you know, lapse of memory, I guess, from those who came before me, you know, to let me know, oh, yeah, things do change. And things that you've gotten used to after some point will affect you differently. Like daylight saving time. Yeah.
Right.
You know, you ain't going to bounce back. Like, you ain't going to disregard it like you used to. You know, pay attention to the atmosphere. Things like a changing in climate, you know, will wreak havoc on bones that you just never paid attention to before. You know, or sinuses or whatever. You can't pay attention to those things. You know, pay attention to it. You know, skin that starts to sag where it was otherwise tight. And pay attention to that belly spread. Because the older you get, the harder it is to get rid of permanently, you know. Yeah, man. All
Uh-oh.
Those things I'm having. Yeah. What?
I got plenty of belly spread right now going on.
Yeah, man.
A lot of that.
You know. And it gets harder. You know, I'm still feeling kind of regretful. I'm still feeling a little bad, you know, because I have a feeling that Okuzo felt like he was under attack or maybe felt like I was feeling the need to defend myself. And, you know, I tried to do the disclaimer earlier that you're caller friendly. I tend to be an asshole, but I'm kind of feeling the repercussions of that right now. So, you know, let me just say, you know, for the sake of saying it, and if there is any kind of residue or feelings of discontent, I want to apologize for my part of that. You know, it was not my intention, and it's never my intention to cause anybody to feel like they're under attack, unless they're a troll.
Right.
So, and art is not a troll.
Well, right on. All right. You know, we were talking about health just a moment ago. So this month is November is Men's Health Awareness Month. So I was joking about me, you know, getting older, about to turn 50 this month. But I realized, too, though, that, you know, I need to and you're telling me these things, you know, I need to, you know, get checked up. You know, it's turn 50 now. You got to have. Make sure everything's running right, you know. But, you know, we talk a lot about all kind of different issues, not just physical, but mental health, physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. That's kind of been our normal format here on the show, one of the formats, one of our things that we stay consistent with. But just wanted to point out that this month is Men's Health Awareness Month, so, you know, it's okay to have these kind of conversations, just like you hear me and my dad talking, you know, me and my tribe, you know, we joke around, but we ask each other, you know, we make sure everybody's in good health, you know, and you may not want to talk about, you know, having your testicles checked out and, you know, having hands up your butt, but we need to make sure that we're okay. So, you know, And so, you know, this is time about raising awareness, especially when it comes to prostate and testicular health, as well as mental health. You know, dealing with, like I said, open wounds of these trials and still these changes that we're going through, dealing with COVID, and as we even trying to reinvent ourselves. You know, so do take those notes and make sure that you're taking care of yourself, and do notice those changes. Just as Dad was just joking with me that I should take note of these changes that are happening. So I hope that, gentlemen, that you all are taking note and making sure that you're staying balanced on this when you're bored as you ride through the wave of life, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, there are other things, too, you know, like it's important to pay attention to, you know, blood sugar levels. It's important to pay attention to, you know, blood pressure levels. It's important to pay attention to kidney function, you know, and liver health, you know. These are the major themes of, you know, black male dangers. You know, like if you're a black male who smokes, it's really important to take a hard look at that, you know. You know, young black men, you know, you mentioned it, you know, you touched on it just now, you know, there's an alarming rise in young black male suicide.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it's, you know, mental health, you know, right along with physical issues. Yeah. And, you know, I agree with you about the chunkers, you know, the chunks, the you know, cojones, you know, you know, and, you know, having somebody peer up your butt, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, these things, you know, they aren't quite as invasive as they used to be. They used to be savagely invasive in the past. But, you know, also other things too, like a current issue, and Art touched on it, and you touched on it, you know, COVID awareness. You know, the things that, I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened, and I don't know why it happened, but I know it has happened, that suddenly, at one minute, we laugh at a dude like Trump, who's making some preposterous statements from his pedestal, you know, like regarding COVID. But at the same time, we take the similar posture with those from the medical field who are expressing their study results, you know, on something like COVID. It's like, you know, what are we at some point we have to decide, what are we going to believe? You know, I don't understand. I go to a doctor, and I've been going to this particular doctor now for almost 7 years. Now, if I have some medical question and concerns that cause me to go for an exam, I'm going to tell him what my concerns are. And I'm going to trust enough of his information to either follow his suggestions or get a second opinion. But I'm not going to just throw it out the window because I went to him. If that same doctor tells me through his research he has found that COVID is authentic and the vaccination is effective, then why would I question the very source that I go to when I'm under a medical emergency? So I don't get that way, you know. And I see it more severely with black men than anybody else I come in contact with. Where, yeah, and then the argument is always about the Tuskegee experiments. Yeah, yeah. And they were experiments done to study the effect of syphilis on the body, and black men were used as guinea pigs. Well, I got two vaccines, and I don't remember any vial being switched around that gave me a shot that wasn't used to give somebody else a shot. You know, one time I went, it was a black woman who gave me a shot, and she wasn't the ex-wife, so I figured we were cool. And another time it was a young white male, you know, from the fire department. You know, and I don't think they shared notes. You know, I don't think they knew who I was when I came in. You know, so, and then by me being older, I kind of depend on those younger than me to be concerned about my health enough to at least recognize when this thing is being said that, yeah, you might be okay, but in the meantime, you might kill somebody you love. I think that's fair warning. So I don't know. You know, I think, you know, awareness of, I think what you said earlier is the most important thing. Be willing to learn about what's going on and how it's affecting your body. Be willing to take in data and information and trust that science knows its field. I ain't going to go to a scientist to learn how to bowl, you know, but then I ain't going to go to a bowler to give me a shot of the Pfizer, you know, vaccination either, you know. So I don't know, man. I think it's very important that black men take control of their bodies, our bodies, in a way that we really, truly begin to investigate what physical health, mental health, psychological health is all about. Okay, I'm sorry, man. Let me back
up. No, absolutely. I mean, that's something that, like we said, needed to be shared. So thanks for adding on to that.
I hope that you build a network of some type, whether it's through email or Twitter or what are them other ones, you know, of course, Facebook and Instagram and all those different platforms you have. I hope that, you know, you'll take a time and maybe even make a public information commercial or something to put the invitation out there to invite people to come on the show. 15, 20-minute interview, you know, and just, you know, educate us on these different themes of health. Yeah, you know, one thing's for sure, it's a lot easier to reach people today than at any other time, you know, if you have a message you want to bring. Amen, man. Any way I can help, let me know.
Oh, yeah, I've already started asking. So.
Amen. You know, that's something we promised in past shows that I admit I didn't really do a big good job of following up in that, you know. At the beginning, we had a nice little flurry of interviews, and then we stopped doing it. We let the issues of society kind of dictate our need to share with the world our opinions. You know, I hope that you know, we'll make a greater effort to bring more people on the show.
And don't worry, Dad plays nice when we have people come on for interviews. It's totally, he's different.
Yeah.
It's different for interviews.
Thank you.
But if your family, you know, if you family, man, it's no whole bar. I mean, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. If you family.
We had some pretty good family interviews, you know.
Yeah,
so.
We did.
We just have such a creative family. You know, it's like, man, we could just bring family on, you know, and not even look to bring non-family. But I think what you're talking about is the direction we need to head, you know, like let's bring some new voices to the screen, you know, and Amen, man. Amen.
Well, let's, again, ladies and gentlemen,
how you feeling right now, man?
I feel good. You know, one of the best things we talk about people's health. You know what? One of the best things for what's the best medicine?
What's it?
What's laughter? You know, we always have moments of laughter and things like that. So I'm feeling good. You know,
the second best is breathing.
That's right. We need some good breath work. No, but
and you know, like we laugh about that. We laugh about that. But the truth is, you know, in America, we tend to be shallow breathers. You know, we tend to hold our breath all together at times of threat. And the breath is the key to life. You know, we need to take some time out every day and kind of exercise those lungs.
Yeah.
Be cognizant of where we're breathing deeply. You know, really, you know, like even if it's just a few little cyclic breath, breathing in through the nose with breathe in the issues and breathe out the results, you know?
Yeah, even if it's even if it's just when you get up in the morning and before you go to bed at night, you know?
Yeah.
I tell you, it's helping my bowling. I know it's helped my bowling.
Amen.
Game, that.
Yeah, amen. You know, your cousin Marty is not a strong proponent anymore about the value of the breath when it comes to the mechanics of bowling. But we both were taught by, you know, by the expert of that time, you know, what the real asset of breathing, you know, before the point of executing a shot could be. Anyway, yeah, the breath, man, you know, the breath. I love that one line in Lord of the Rings. It's my favorite, you know. It's the deep breath before the plunge. I love that.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm laughing because I already know what he was going to say. So that's the only thing about doing this show with him. So I kind of have an idea what he's going to say before he says it. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. All righty, man. So where are we right now? It's about, what, a little less than 15 minutes to go. Are you going to talk some about that one topic before we close? Or are you going to save it for next week?
Well, you know, we can save it for next week. We had a good moment to segue into it. I don't know if our listeners have seen the movie The Harder They Fall on Netflix. If you haven't seen it,
why don't we save
it
to next week?
You, you know, and I just want to say, you said something last week, and I want to make sure that I say it now, so when I review the show, I'll remember for next week. But you said something in regards to not seeing yourself, and is it safe to say not seeing yourself in things that are America, let's say? You know, like I know how much you still get excited, like seeing the Black Panther. You know, being able to see ourselves on the big screen as superheroes and not, you know, the typical dealers, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's with that thought that I really enjoyed the movie The Harder They Fall. So, yeah, we can get into that next week. But I just wanted to make sure I connected that and I won't forget when we bring it back up.
And you're right, there was a perfect segue. If I had shut up long enough, is when I was talking about the heroes I grew up under, like John Wayne and how the Native Americans were the bad guys. And if I had just let that door stay open a little bit, it would have been a perfect time for you to say, yeah, and there's this new movie out. But no, I just had to keep here. I had to keep exercising the 1,000-word formula.
I'm just saying. I mean, you're fresh. You know, your gold coins are fresh. So we got 1,000 coins, man. Why use 100? You know, we're just dusting off the mic. I mean, it's good to be back. I've enjoyed the show. It wasn't like we just sat on here and just were like, well, what do you want to talk about? What do you want? You know,
what are you going to talk about?
You can hear us rumbling through the papers, you know, and all this other stuff. Let me find my notes. You know, that I don't think that was the case tonight. I don't know. We'll see when we go back and review the show. But, you know, it's the first show, and nothing's ever easy when you, you know, go at it again. So
well,
it takes a moment to get
the
bike going.
And this is where the web is spun out. You know, the web doesn't start out done. It has to have a beginning. And this is, for me anyway, where the web begins to, you know, extend itself, but it's a web, you know, and it next week will connect for me from this week. I'm already looking at my agenda here, and I know we'll still talk about it, but I definitely want to give some more energy to failed American history and white accountability in politics on top of whatever we decide next week's slate will be. You know, and I personally would like to continue to not make it a political statement, but at least a comment, you know, of accountability because there is no accountability right now in a very crucial time in American history. White politicians are doing some incredibly, I'll use the word, racist things, like this guy who made a cartoon, what do you call it, anime? Is that how you pronounce it? A-N-I-M-E? Anime cartoon.
Anime, uh-huh.
Yeah, and he made this cartoon about how he wants to kill, you know, AOC, the young lady out of New York. I remember her initials better than I do. Ocasio-Cortez. I can never remember the A part. But how he made this cartoon about one of his, he's a congressperson, you know, out of Kansas, I think. And he made this cartoon about killing her. You know, he's a person who is one of her colleagues. You know, where's the joke in that? You know, I mean, how can something like that be allowed? Well, it can be when the atmosphere, when the theme, when the attitude, you know, of American society right now is what it is. You know, I don't know, man. It's unnerving for me, and it does more than just strike fear. It just rattles my cage, man. It's like, you know, this, how can this be okay?
Yeah,
you know, this
now
is a person who's been appointed to a particular position in Congress who has something to do with making law. You know, man. So, I mean, yeah, I hear part of what was said earlier about the bully pulpit and how Trump took advantage of, you know, his position and you know, how those who backed him had absolutely no reference at all to anything at all that had to do with cultural harmony, you know, and he made it a point to build his platform on greed, you know, and misogyny, you know, and we as a society were okay with that. You know, overall, because, you know, even though my man was, you know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for when they were looking to pull him down from his throne? The vote that they took twice to have that dude, you know, at least muted, they did it to Clinton. And I don't know how I can't think of the word right now. They did it to Andrew Johnson, you know, and it's when you rebut it by your own peers, and it's a word that they use. And they have to vote on it. And I can't believe I can't think of it right now. And obviously neither can you.
Yeah, I'm dead cold, man, wow. In politics. I'm like, man, I really got to get back on the knowledge research. I can't believe
I cannot think of the word. And you know the word.
Yeah, we've mentioned it.
It just escaped.
I know we've talked about it on the show.
Yeah. But this man walked away from two of these, two of them. You know,
oh,
and it's like...
Oh, geez.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's stupid.
Impeach.
Man, I can think of every word.
Impeach.
Impeach. There you go. Yeah, you said it. Impeach. He was impeached twice, you know, but no results.
And still has a chance to be reelected again.
Well, that's the climate of American society. So, no, this isn't a time where I can see how anybody, you know, that has any kind of consciousness about fairness in a democratic society could be okay with this. I can see how racists could be okay with it. You know, I can see how greed could be okay with it. You know, I can see how indifference could be okay with it. But I can't see how social consciousness regarding, you know, any kind of true democratic beliefs could be okay with this, man. But it's the compromise of history, and it's compromised itself when it started out by calling black men three-fifths of a human. you know, right away that meant it wasn't of the people, by the people, and for the people. It meant a select few. Okay.
Just those people.
Yeah, just those people. We did a whole show on that. Yeah.
So yeah, next week, you know, we look at it. Look at us. Look at it. We're already working on our format for next week, on our list of topics for next week. Right on.
See? Amen. Yeah.
See? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
All righty, man.
So again,
land this airplane, Wilfredo.
I didn't even call you
Wilfredo at the beginning.
No, you didn't. You missed the cue, Daddy. We'll do it next week. So you can tell people why you call me Wilfredo. If they don't already know.
That never
if
stopped
you don't
me.
Know. Now, I use 1,000 words, right? I mean, 100 words on 1,000 with this. Hopefully I'll have
Well, either way it works. Yeah.
You know, but again, if there's anybody in our health and wellness industry, you work with a nonprofit charitable organization, email me at evolvethetribe@gmail.com. We really would like to bring you in, talk about, you know, what you do, 15, 20 minutes probably. And like Dad said, educate us, you know, let us know some things. So what we're about here at the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. Again, new day, Wednesday. I like Wednesdays. So Wednesday, 7 p.m. Tell a friend,
break a friend. You're going to have the great, you know, the great horde say, oh, man, I thought it was still Thursday.
That wasn't just a special night. You know, you did Wednesdays before, then you went to Thursday. my email still says Thursday. Reminder in my phone. So change your reminder. Wednesdays.
Yeah. Beautiful show.
Yeah. It's good to be back.
Thank you for good thank to be you. Back. Yeah. Thank you for directing it. Yeah.
Good to be back.
All righty, man. Land this airplane, and I'll see you on the other side.
All right. We'll see you at the beginning next week. In closing, I love you too, Dad. I love you too. It's good to be back. It's really good. In closing, I just want to leave a quote that I stumbled upon, or I don't know, maybe it was intentional, before we get up out of here. And it goes like this. I remember that I am invisible and walk softly so as not awake the sleeping ones. Sometimes it is best not to awaken them. There are a few things in this world as dangerous as sleepwalkers. Ralph Ellison, The Invisible Man.
Amen.
I thought you'd like that, man. And again, what wolf do you feed? We hope to see you all and hear you all next week, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/The Greenhouse Effect. Join the Greenhouse Effect group page on Facebook. And again, if you have any questions, you can always email me at evolvethetribe.com, or you can hit up my dad as well, Bill Green, on social media or however else you contact him. So next week, we'll see you all. Please be safe out there. You all stay blessed. Amen.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I'll say. made me who I am.